some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carbone, and it's my birthday today, August 17th, 2010. We're on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. I'll say it again. My co-host tonight, Ray Dieter.
Is this your birthday today?
This is my birthday.
I am so pleased to be here. It's going to be a great show.
We've got a crazy night of beer ahead of us. At Rattle and Hum tonight, you got Brian Strumka from Stillwater. At Jimmy's Number 43, there's a sour beer tasting. We've got a fancy cast from England called The Bad King. And we're just doing all kinds of crazy things.
The Bad King, is that a Shelton Brothers product?
It's a Ridgeway IPA. A right. Ridgeway beer. I don't know if have you heard of The Bad King?
I've heard about it. I saw it on paper. I've not tasted it.
The story of The Bad King is that it was his named after King John, who was right. doing all in his power to get rid of King Arthur back in the old days. And so it's a fitting name, but I think it's like a 6%, kind of a little stronger version of a cask ale. You know, not your typical session beer.
Is that a birthday cask just for you, Jimmy?
It could be. But we got Beer Sessions Radio. I'm embarrassed it's my birthday. Here I am.
You're
beer
like,
Sessions
you're like
Radio is sponsored
now, right?
by...
How old are you, Jimmy?
I'm 45 years old.
40? No, you're not.
I'm old enough to be a man.
You're young?
Only 45?
Old enough to be a man.
I thought you...
whatever.
But stick the...
I'll stick
Beer Sessions Radio is sponsored by GreatBrewers.com. GreatBrewers.com is one of our favorite resources for all things craft beer. And we're also supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal, an association of 27 New York City good beer bars. GoodBeerSeal.com. Well, what did you bring the beer guy who has everything? That's our theme tonight. Well, first off, we've got Brian Strumka from Stillwater Artisanal Ales. Brian, how are you? You're one of the great stories of beer right now.
Pretty good. It's been on the road a lot, so.
So we'll talk about Brian. Ray, what do we know about Brian?
Well, Brian is now like the darling of the beer media. I was laying in bed Sunday morning, kind of trying to wake up and knock off my hangover, and all of a sudden there was this big report about artisanal beer in America, and there was Brian. And I got pissed off. I got pissed off because we interviewed him the week before. Yeah, don't apologize.
We interviewed him
Brian.
First, and then he was on NPR.
And then he's on NPR. He's all over the place, and now he's like the darling of the media, and it couldn't happen to a better guy.
And you know, tune in next week because next week actually we have a pre-recorded show from Omegang, and Brian's on there as well as Sean Lawson from Lawson's Finest up in Vermont.
He'll be on NPR next week. Right
yeah, so that, you know, we've got Nano Brewers and Gypsy Brewers and all that, but. Brian is here today, and he didn't bring any beer.
He didn't bring any beer
because
for Jimmy's birthday.
All his beer is at Rattle and Hum.
Well, that and I was kind of off the grid for a bit. Went up to a festival at Sean Hill, the Hill Farmstead Brewery over the weekend. And,
how do you spell that, Sean Hill?
Sean Hill?
Yeah.
S-H-A-U-N?
Hill? S-H-A-U-N?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not S-E-A-N.
No,
okay.
It's not.
Oh, and you know, it's my birthday show. We've got a live caller.
Already?
I think so.
Hello. I'm definitely alive.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dave Broderick, calling from up north.
Hi, oh, there he is.
David.
Our he's happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
He's the one that took my beer.
So how was the Sean Hill beer event this weekend?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I was. It was funny. It was with. I spent a lot of time with Brian Strumke and Sean Lawson, and we had a great time. And they kept asking me when they're going to be on... Beer Sessions Radio, and I was like, I don't know, sometime in August when Jimmy goes on vacation.
Next Tuesday, August 24th.
There
at
you
the
go.
Nanos and the Gypsies. Ray, do you have any questions for Dave up in Vermont?
What's the weather like up there, Dave?
85 degrees, dry, sunny, perfect.
Uh-huh. How are the hop plants going?
Well, it's really good. Actually, I harvested some today, and they're in the dehydrator drying right now as we speak.
Great.
Beautiful.
Great stuff. So how come you drank all of Brian's beer?
Weekend.
How come you drank all of Brian's beer? He didn't bring any down for Jimmy's birthday.
Yeah, no, we did drink it all. It was delicious.
Yeah, right about it.
Well, Dave, it's always great to hear from you. And we're going to raise our glasses in a toast to Dave Broderick. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon in New York, okay?
I'll be down soon.
All right. Thank you.
Have a great time.
Bye, Dave.
See you, Dave.
So Stillwater Artisanal Ales. We're going to talk more about you next week, but I think we should say a few things that, you know, you're like a gypsy brewer. It's pretty cool. So what are the favorite places that you've brewed at recently?
I mean, for the most part, the professional side of the industry for me is still pretty young. So I have a home-based brewery in Maryland, and I think we talked about that in at Oma Gang. But two breweries in Belgium so far, and I got a collaboration on Fano. It's an island in Denmark coming up in September. And
Fano?
I believe...
How do you spell it?
F-A-N-O with a slash through the
O. I feel like Merriam-Webster here.
It's one of those Danish O's.
Right.
All right. So, well, what's cool about you, because there's so many really interesting small brewers now, and one of our favorites is Jolly Pumpkin. And he also makes another beer called Leelanau. And I don't know that much about it, but we're drinking the Leelanau Good Harbor Golden Ale. Do you know anything about Leelanau, Brian?
Yeah, I actually do. They are similar in the regards that they are contract brewing their beer at Jolly Pumpkin. I don't know a whole lot of background. I recently got an email from those guys, and it was, you know, just was very brief, and it seemed like, from what someone told me, I think they have their own fodders, or at least barrels, housed at Jolly Pumpkin, where they do a lot of their, basically where they do their fermentation in. But I don't know the full story.
How do they get that sour aspect of their beer? Do you know what the secret is to that?
As far as Jolly Pumpkin's concerned, I mean, it's a house. There's a house Brettanomyces and lacto essence that goes through the entire. Basically, I mean, everything's aged in wood.
Right.
So once that house infection starts, it just kind of.
It just goes everywhere.
Yeah, it goes everywhere.
Right.
And personally, I'm a big fan of the, you know, of the house character, and. I find it unique because there's a lot of different types of Brettanomyces that people are using that are cultured by either Y yeast or White Labs and such like that, like Bruxellensis.
Brian, I got a question for you. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the great brewers here in America. How do you feel? Where do you think the best beer is coming from right now? Is it coming from America, or is it coming from Europe, or is it coming from Japan? Or
I think both the best and the worst. Beers are coming from America.
The best and the best of the worst.
Yeah, we are the king of both.
Best and the worst.
Okay, so you're not taking a position on this question.
Well,
we do get that. We get that a lot. People want to know what their favorite worst beer is, and I don't want to go there because I hate that question. I'd rather talk about the best.
It's a ridiculous question. I mean, because one person's favorite's another person's, like, you know, like. Drain port. I mean, it's probably one of the dumbest questions to even.
You know what? I totally agree with that. I totally agree.
Well, let's give some background on that. And I think there's a good story here. A couple weeks ago, Ray had said that, or maybe it was last week talking to Garrett Oliver. I think that Ray said that he thought the best beers are coming from America, and of course, our friends at Shelton Brothers were you know. They called him on it, and we said, well, that's good that someone's actually listening to us on the radio. But, you know, we do love, you know, the beers from Shelton Brothers. I mean, but the funny thing is that Jolly Pumpkin is a Shelton Brother beer, too. So they have some beers in America. They have a beer in New Zealand, Japan. I mean, it's a good example. You know, some of our favorite importers, you know, 12% importers, mm-hmm. Be United and Shelton Brothers, just for name an example. They have beers now from Italy, France, Scandinavia, Japan, New Zealand, and America. And, you know, it gives you an example of, I think it's more about craft beer and craft beer techniques, you know?
But I think what's happened, though, I think there's kind of a ricochet effect. I mean there's these traditions of brewing in Europe that have gone on for centuries, and that's great. And then in America, we had a tradition that was based on basically on German and English brewing. And then we had this thing called Prohibition, which kind of shut everything down for a while. And then we came back, and the biggest, worst breweries in America survived through Prohibition. And they made the worst beer in the world. But I think that America has gone back and taken a lot of these styles, and it's like brought it to fruition to a certain point. Brought it. I don't know. Just taken it, improved on it, made it crazy. Went imperial, went triple, and then it went too far, really. And then now
we've got a lot of good beers.
A lot of good beers, but also it's coming back. We've talked about this on and on again about the imperial and the triple imperials and all that kind of stuff. And now the beer is, I think, coming back to a place that's actually drinkable. People like Brian.
Honestly, hi, I think one of the, there's another issue that we have to deal with. It's like, to judge an imported beer in America is pretty tough, because a lot of beers aren't really meant to hold up.
They don't travel. Well.
Yeah, right. And it's even finally now, as you know, venturing into the professional realm of brewing, mm-hmm. I find my, you know, old bottles of my beer. I mean, even though it's still like in the infant stages of its birth with my brewing project, it's they're not always going to be, you don't know how they're going to be handled once
Ryan,
it's out in the public.
Let's get back to what we're doing. So tonight you're at Rattle and Hum. Tell us some of the beers that you're featuring there, because it's all new to us too.
Okay,
I've only had a few of your beers.
I believe it's going to be Cellar Door. It's a wheat saison with white sage.
And where was that brewed?
That's part of the Stateside series. That's brewed in Westminster, Maryland. Stateside as well. Stateside saison, and then also a collaboration with Voodoo Brewing up in Media, Pennsylvania. No, not Media. It's Meadville. It's way up there.
How many barrels of beer or kegs of beer a year do you think you're making right now? More than 1,000?
I think at the rate we're going, we may break 1,000 this year. If not, it'll be right below, but it's looking to be at least extremely close.
All right. Well, that was a good little intro. We're going to take a short break here. We're Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a few minutes.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. At the cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. And at a time of limitation, you can't take caviar, cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, jeopardy, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable in appetite. Wanna try? She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Little man from China, but down to get your mind up.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. As you've probably heard on the podcast before, Beer Sessions Radio went up to Brewery Omegang for their annual Belgium Comes to Cooperstown Festival. Our roving reporter, Dave Broderick, convinced us to come up and do a couple of shows, the first of which you will hear next week, August 24th, featuring Brian Strumka, whom you've met here tonight, and Sean Lawson of Lawson's Finest Liquids. The second show, August 31st, is with Phil Leinhart and Simon Thorpe from Omegang. In addition to these interviews, Ray and Dave put together a report from Out on the Grounds that literally will give you a taste of the festival. So let's cut to that. This is a roving reporter, Dave Broderick, and Ray Dieter from Omegang.
This is Dave Broderick and Ray Dieter from Beer Sessions Radio reporting live from the field at Omegang Beer Festival. We're with Scott Ficarro from Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. And Scott is right next to us is a 250-pound pig that Scott has been cooking all day. Scott, like, first of all, why a 250-pound pig?
Well, you know, beer festivals are all about people getting together and having a good time, and there's only, you know, one way to feed that many people all at once, and it's with a gigantic roasted pig.
Nice.
So the when was the first year that you, well, first of all, when was the first year you came to Omagon?
4 years ago was the first year we came up here. Had a blast and knew, you know, from that point on we were going to come back every year as long as they'd have us. And it was year two that we decided it was, you know, we should bring up a pig after seeing this many people together having fun. And we like roasting pigs.
How much prep do you put into this event for these 2 days?
You know, the beer is always, you know, we have the beer, so it's just a matter of calling up Farmer John, our farmer who takes away our spent grain, and saying, John, we need a big pig. Get it ready for us. I need it on Friday. And it's as easy as that.
Wow, so it's that simple.
We, you know, we're lucky we have good friends at Iron Hill, and they take care of everything else as far as the sides, the butchering stuff. I mean, I just bring the pig. I'm lucky.
And so how the first one was how big?
125 pounds.
And then this year's is?
250.
Well, how fast?
Double.
Double.
And
how,
so
how fast did 125 disappear?
Very quickly, actually. So we knew it was time to step it up. No, we told Farmer John to get us a bigger one.
And so I remember last year, like, you tried to fit it into the smoker, and what happened?
Yeah, well, we showed up at the farm to pick it up and get everything ready to go, and it wouldn't fit in the cooker. So they had to start cutting off body parts, and they cut off just the, you know, the trotters, just the back legs. And then this year, up to this point, he actually had to cut the back legs below the knee. Because, and the front legs as well, because he couldn't get it in there. So we've maxed out the cooker with 250.
I think it's time for a bigger cooker.
That's what I think.
Is,
you
know? That? Is
maybe
that?
2 feet wider, 3 feet longer, we can get Hogzilla on there.
So you you tow this cooker up behind your...
We do. We pick it up the day of, you know, the Friday, and we basically pack the pig in ice, in garbage bags and ice, and drive it 4 hours up to the festival, leave it in ice overnight, and then wake up Saturday feeling great, and we threw it on today at 9 o'clock.
And it's going to be done when?
The heat is now off, so it's about 7 right now, and we're going to let it rest for 30 minutes, and then we're going to go at it.
Okay. And so what, like, for you, what Omagon Beer Festival, it's like, what, why do you come every year? What's special about this, well, event
this,
for you?
This, I mean, I think it's probably the best beer festival on the East Coast because it's, you know, people together camping, you're in tight quarters, nobody's leaving after the festival. You know, it's a giant community. It's a beer community. Everyone loves the beer. Everyone has a great time, and it's one of the most beautiful settings you're going to see.
It's gorgeous here.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And, you know, we've been very fortunate in the 4 years we've been coming here. It's been great weather every year. I think the year before we came, there might have been some rain. I don't know if we should even talk about that, but it's been, ever since I've been coming, it's been absolutely gorgeous. So, I mean, we'll, you know, we love it up here. So it's just, we're happy to be available, you know, to be invited back year after year.
So how long before this pig's going to be ready?
30 minutes, I think we're going to start.
30 minutes, and we can start eating.
So we should stay here and be online at the front of the line.
I totally agree.
So we can keep talking
gonna,
for a while.
Yeah, we're going to set up a nice assembly line. We have a lot of sides from the guys at Iron Hill.
Wow.
And it's just going to be basically
Iron Hill, which is right next door.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you guys always camp in the same, pretty much the same spot. Everybody knows this is your area, so nobody touches it.
We've been here this in all the years I've been coming here. We've been camping right here, and it's a great spot. It's close to the front door.
Yeah, right. So even if you come late, everybody, like, it's still.
Yeah, it's always, I mean,
like,
we've been
nobody touches it.
Everybody's, yeah, we have
very
a little campsite
respectful.
Right.
If you're the pig guy, nobody's going to miss it.
Nobody's going to miss the pig
guy.
They're
going to have to give us our spot, exactly.
The 90s, it breaks my heart that Cross went out, but our love was there, and I've always fulfilled that Belgian beer love. I love Belgian beer.
Cross was up in Morrisville, Vermont.
That's right.
And you guys were in existence from?
From 96 to 2001.
Because we used to have you at the Tiger. It was amazing beer.
I dropped him off on the doorstep.
Exactly.
I remember.
And now you're doing Now, how did you get involved with the Von Trapp family, and now you're making lager beers?
It was all word of mouth type thing. And we were able to, based upon the delay in the permit process, I was able to go over to Germany for a year. And it was a wonderful experience. But before I went to Germany, I went to Belgium. So there was a 3-day lag when I was in Germany of understanding lagers. And at first I was like, oh, I've got a Dollarbrau Reserva. I want to drink this while we're in Munich. And all the Germans were laughing at me. And it took me a moment to, like, really appreciate Augustiner, to understand exactly what German lager beer is all about. And now from that point on, I love it. It's beautiful.
And so, tell us about some of the beers that you've been making at Von Trapp now. You're making these lagers. You've got Helles.
Helles, a Vienna-style lager, which I find out you can't call it Vienna lager. It's got to be Vienna-style lager.
Because you're not in Vienna.
Because we're not in Vienna.
You're in Vermont.
That's okay.
I understand. They're both V places.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Kolsch, you know, that's what we're all about.
Right.
But so a Vienna-style lager, a Dunkel. We've got an Oktoberfest coming, and then we're going to start playing. I mean, we've got some sour barrels going with Helles in
sour
it.
Sour lager?
Yeah.
And I had some of your whiskey-aged Maybach.
Yep.
So tell us about that. That was a phenomenal beer.
It was an Ubach. I wrote the recipe for an Ubach, which is an original Bach, light body. And when we tasted it, when it came out of the lager cellar, it just needed a little something. And at the time, my friend Tom from Berwick Brewing, Tom Clark, he had some bourbon barrels and offered them up, and we put it right in there, and it was beautiful.
How long did you age them for?
It was a solid 1 month.
1 month.
Yep. After a full lagering session.
And how much did you do, like barrels. Two barrels, one barrel?
What we did was we blended it.
Okay.
When it came out of the barrels, it was a little too raw, so we blended it with what couldn't fit in the barrel, which, again, love of the brewing industry, it's the beer tells you. You know, you don't tell the beer. So we had a little extra beer that we couldn't fit in the bourbon barrels. We blended it up, and gorgeous.
Nice. So how much did you produce? It was
260 gallons.
And you just kegged it, no bottles.
All kegs.
All
no
kegs.
Bottles. Yeah.
And it's all gone.
All gone. I have one keg for Great American Beer Fest.
Nice. So we have to go to GABF to get that last. Yes. Are you gonna make some more?
Yeah. As soon as the ambient
temperature. Awesome. It was a great time up in Omegang. We all went up there, and there's some of you can actually hear the people in the background talking and the crowds.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, I don't remember a lot of it.
Well, we know that Ray disappeared. Suddenly at 11 p.m. at night, his cell phone went off, and we didn't find him until 12 noon the next day.
I was doing some research.
That's good. I mean, there's tents up there, there's barbecue, but it was great that you and Dave got to go around and do that. I mean, we drove up there. This was a really awesome event, and
it was.
We're definitely going back next year. We're going up with the whole radio show. You know, guys from Anthony from Swift, Dan from Pony Bar. These guys had their own setups up there. I think Rattle and Hum was up there.
It was
pretty awesome. I mean, that was a great
event. All about the research, Jimmy.
You did a great job. But, you know, we've got Leland out here, we got Brian Strumka, and we got a new guest who walked in, Jerry from Browcheck Beer. How are you, Jerry? Come up to the mic.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah. Jerry's a good guy. I met him today. He's representing a Czech beer. Tell us about your beer, Jerry.
Well, I represent the Czech lagers. It's dark and pale lager, and they are made the same way as the brewery was built. It's still the three-step brewing method, which is separate lagering and separate fermentation.
Well, tell us, what is the traditional method for this that you do?
That is the traditional method.
But explain to us, because we don't know about this. What do other breweries do that you don't do?
Well, most of the breweries nowadays are industrial production, and they ferment and lager the beer in the same tank. So it doesn't really change place. And it's a lot quicker and cheaper method of producing beer. But the old way, of course, is more intensive. You have to take care of the beer. It gets monitored pretty much every day. And the brewmaster takes a little taste of every tank every day. And when it's ready...
Are they steel tanks? What are the tanks made of? Are they steel, the wood?
Tanks are steel and
tanks.
They are glass-lined.
Glass lined?
Yes.
Huh.
They are glass lined, and actually they get cleaned every 2-3 months.
Where are you in Czechoslovakia?
The brewery is located about 60 miles northeast of Prague.
And how many barrels of beer do you make?
It's about 90,000 hectoliters, which is...
A lot.
So it's more than our craft beer, but still
more than
like
Brian makes.
America, you would be called a regional brewery. Like
we would be called a microbrew, yes.
Yeah.
On a Czech scale, yes, definitely. We probably make as much beer as Budweiser spills in a day.
There's another Czech brewery. Have you heard of the Pheasant?
Golden Pheasant.
Golden Pheasant, that's
actually a Slovak beer.
That's Slovak.
Yes, and that's now owned by Heineken, which is the same story with all the major breweries. they got bought by multinationals, South African breweries, the Belgians. Heineken owns quite a few breweries in the Czech and Slovak Republic.
So you're, you know, around the world, there's different stories. Like for us, we're talking about going to really small breweries, like, you know, Brian being a gypsy brewer, a nano brewer, making only 1,000 barrels or 1,000 kegs. But in many parts of the world, you know, there are some traditional breweries that are struggling to stay on, and many of them are selling out to multinationals. And, you know, there's a wide range of beers that we can call, you know, craft beer. Or regional beer, you know. What do you think about the world of beer? Right, this is my birthday. I can talk about whatever I want.
You can talk about come on, buddy. Whatever you want, Jimmy.
Happy birthday!
What about the world of beer?
I tried to get hookers to come here, jump and have a cake for you, but it didn't work out.
That's kind of the world of beer, but
and it's early.
Thank you.
Tonight is young.
What do I think about the world of beer? I think that there's such great beers out there, and I met this gentleman this afternoon. We had some beer.
Jerry. Yeah, from Broadcheck.
At DBA. I happened to be there, and he happened to have some beer, and we happened to drink it together, and I thought the Dunkel that you brought was very good. We had a great time. And how do I think about beer in general by the world? I think that that America is making the worst beer in the world.
Where did that all come from? It's like out of the blue, he's like spontaneously like, what do I think of beer?
I spontaneously combusted.
Yeah, there you go.
To our listeners out there, we're having a lot of fun tonight. It is my birthday, and I think we've been doing the show about 6 months. One special thing that's going to happen in September is we're going to come up with a new name. We've found out that there is another someone using the term beer sessions. And, you know, we want to have our own identity. So you can call in or email us at beersessions@gmail.com and suggest a new name for the show. You can be obscene, but we will not respond.
Drunktalk.com?
Yeah. Just like with JetBlue and Steven Slater, we will not respond. So, you know, if you can think of a name, Ray's favorite is Beer Mountain. Ray's the guy that came up with the name Beer Sessions Radio. I love the name. But we're going to try to move on to a more unique, trademarkable name.
I think we need to hire a battery of lawyers to keep the name. We can afford that.
You know, we're just so big time. But let's just take a little break. Beer Sessions Radio, Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com, one of our favorite sites for beer information. Check out GreatBrewers.com. And also GoodBeerSeal.com, 27 good beer bars in New York City. They're a big supporter as well. If you want to call us, hold on, guys. Call us at 718-497-2128. I got a feeling we're going to have some other callers tonight.
I just got to say, Jimmy, I just love the GreatBrewers.com. It's my favorite website.
It's awesome.
It's almost better than porn, almost.
Well, you can learn a lot about beer on that site. There's education.
Absolutely.
And the Great Brewers Test. I think we should try to encourage people to take the Great Brewers Test 100.
We got
to
get a tie-in.
Yeah, if you don't get a 70, you don't pass, and it is pretty. It's a tough test.
And if you don't get more than 70, you can't listen to the show anymore.
Oh no,
we're just
all
like
these
black
cool
it
things.
Out.
We've got some fun questions too, but I'm going to go back to Jerry, our guest from Broadcheck, is here, as well as Brian Strumka from Stillwater Artisanal Ales. And I think we started talking about, you know, other countries and traditions in beer. And, you know, we're so happy to have nano breweries, but in some countries, their local breweries are still fighting to not be bought up by Heineken or something. But Jerry had a good question. He says, you know, let's talk about the countries where beer is cheaper than water.
What is that about?
Hey, let's talk about the history of
live
beer
there.
And beer drinking.
Well, it is. That's actually Czech Republic. Any place pretty much outside of Prague and the main tourist spots.
The beer is cheaper than water.
The beer is cheaper than water, yes. Bottled water, I mean.
Is the beer better than the water?
Not definitely. It is, yes.
Okay.
No actually, yeah, I spent some time in the Czech Republic when I was doing my DJing and music career.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. And it was dangerous because you get a pint of really nice lager, dark or light. They're usually always good, clean, fresh. It costs maybe less than 50 cents.
And what did the water cost?
I didn't drink water.
Why bother?
Why bother? Exactly.
What's the word for beer in Czech?
Is it water.
It's pivo.
Pivo. That's pivo. Similar to, what's the word in Russian?
In Russian, it's pivo.
Pivo.
In Polish, it's pivo.
So pivo.
Yeah, it's pretty international word.
That's the word for beer or water?
Beer.
For beer. What's the word for water?
Voda.
Water. Okay.
Very close to vodka, though.
How did they figure that out?
Voda.
Oh, vodka, right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a good thing to talk about. In history, you know this history. In England and everything, they had the people drank beer because the water was, you know, not safe to drink.
The groundwater was... fecal contamination.
I mean, there are beers in this country that are cheaper than waters. I mean, there's some expensive bottled water and there's some cheap beer.
But that's crazy. We should do a show like water sessions, right? Like everybody could talk about different quality of water, like Poland Springs versus Pellegrini. You know,
I think a bottle of Fiji water will run you more than a bottle of Bud.
Oh, it's such bullshit.
Oh yeah,
it all comes out of a rubber hose in somebody's backyard.
Tell us more about, I mean, Czech was like the dreamland. It's like, you know, you've had the fight between Budvar and Budweiser and, you know, how do you feel? You're very proud of your beer.
Budvar, Czech bar.
We have a real Czech man here. This is awesome. This is the center of beer. We love it.
Well, it beer is a Czech national drink. There's nothing more Czech than a beer. And people drink, the Czech Republic is number one in the world in beer consumption. That's 160 some liters, beating the Germans by 30 liters per head. So that's quite a bit of beer.
It's
per
not
head.
A competition.
I'm
so
sorry.
What's happened since Czech and Slovakia have like they've split up?
Yeah, it was a technical and national identity issue. It was kind of forced together back then, and Slovaks did want their own identity, and they got it. But
so who makes better beer, Slovaks or Czechs?
Uh-oh.
I think definitely Czechs. But
Jimmy, you don't go there usually. That's wow.
You know, I'm having fun today. It's my birthday, and I'm also excited that we have Brian. I'm gonna call him Brian Stillwater.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. We met him in Philly Craft Beer Week. He was at the Devil's Den at a 12% night. You know, Brian's not here, but you know, 12%. He's doing some crazy stuff. I mean, he's got this kid. He's sending him around the country, being a gypsy brewer. It's kind of unheard of. I love it. You know, how did you guys ever get started doing that?
I basically, and actually it's funny because a lot of it has roots in Eastern Europe and Slovenia, Czech Republic. I basically transformed the business model from my DJ days career of being like a gypsy music producer. And
what was the style DJ of music that you...
It was electronic dance music. It was techno and for lack of a better word.
You had it
word.
Very specific.
It was very specific word.
What was it called?
Went down as like progressive house.
No, that's not what you said up in Cooperstown.
Wait, was it?
Bizarre.
Was it something different? It was like
saved by the phone call, guys. we got a call in, and I bet it's someone else that I know since it's my birthday.
Uh-oh. Happy birthday.
Hello.
Hello, Jimmy.
Who's this?
Dan Shelton out of Belchertown, Massachusetts.
Dan, my favorite beer importer. How are you?
Shelton Brothers. Oh, I'm good. You know, I'm older than you by a lot, but I feel all right.
Well,
it's not a race.
You know, we're drinking Leland now, which is also made by the brewer from Jolly Pumpkin. Tell us a few things about Jolly Pumpkin, because I love that guy, and I know you do too.
Yeah, well, I love him on every level, really, because he's a vegetarian like myself, and he's kind of has a hippie mentality, raised as I was by sort of hippie parents, and he's in it for the beer, you know. He does what he wants to do, and doesn't think about the money so much, which means that he's pretty much been losing money for years, but I think he's okay. But he decided at some point to put everything he makes into oak barrels. Literally everything he makes goes in for several months, and that's obviously a very costly thing to do. And people looking at it from an accounting point of view would say he's an idiot. But
so Dan, this is Ray Dieter, and he's an American brewer.
I know that voice anywhere.
And he's an American brewer.
He is an American brewer.
And it's pretty good, right?
I love it.
It drinks pretty good.
Yeah, okay, good. So you know, so America's, there's some good beers coming out of America.
But as usual, Americans overestimate their own importance in the world. There's also really good beer coming out of other places. And I don't know. What can I say? I love... There are three or four brewers in America that I just rate up there with anybody, you know, definitely. And I won't say which ones because people will give me a hard time about it. But
and you hate, you know, that?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I kind of thrive on it. But
I know you do.
Yeah, you know, this is your show, and it's Jimmy's birthday, for God's sake.
It is Jimmy's birthday. So,
and that's why I'm calling.
Dan, it's awesome that you called in. I just saw a great picture of your brother Will in the Yankee Brew News, which is another great publication. And just want to say hi and thanks for calling in. And we're thinking again about places in the world where beer is cheaper than water.
Well, Dan, when are you going back in New York City?
Oh, I don't know. I'm heading to New Zealand tomorrow, actually. So
fuck you, Dan.
Yeah. Hey, can you say it on the radio?
Oops.
All right. So places where beer is cheaper than water. This could be a whole theme. I think we're going to have to come back. You know, you guys, this has been the funnest show ever, and you know what? We're just getting into themes, and our theme... I could drink beer instead of water. You know, I have a... We'll talk about beer. I have a brother-in-law who's a doctor, and he said that usually if you're sick or something else, it's better to drink beer than water, because beer has electrolytes. It's why they made Gatorade. They basically... Gatorade is like an artificial... It does what beer does for you, but it's made, like, chemically.
I never heard that.
Yeah. Think of this. If you have a really bad hangover or you had a fever and you lost some, you know, body fluids, it's better for you to drink a good beer than it is to drink water.
This is the hair of the dog theory?
Yeah.
Not necessarily the hair of the dog.
Oh, my God. The door is open.
Oh, my God.
Manuela.
We got some more friends coming in, too. We've got Mike Henderson and Manuela Tota, some of our regular guests.
There's balloons.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my God. And hookers.
Yeah. Well, we don't mean to... All right, guys.
Back to the electrolytes. After going to the gym, the only thing I want to drink is a big, hoppy IPA.
I drink that at the gym while I'm working out.
Every six months I join the gym, I work out hard. You know what happens? I drink more.
Well, Jimmy, I could tell
when I work
you
out,
are so...
Yeah,
you are.
When I work out,
the picture of good health.
I can drink three times as much beer and still feel good. So I guess if you want to, you know, have a guys, this is too much for me. It's my birthday, but don't embarrass me. Come on,
drink good stuff and look like good stuff, Jimmy. And you are the handsomest man in the beer industry. We all know that. We all know that.
But we got Jerry here from Brewcheck, and we got Brian from Stillwater. Now we got Mike Henderson and Manuela, our favorite home brewers. Did you guys bring any beers? Get them on the air. Let's see our buddies.
Because we're
here.
Thirsty.
Yeah. Hi, Manuela. How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Thanks for coming on the show.
Happy birthday.
I love the medicine bottle packaging.
Yeah, Mike's one of our favorite home brewers, and Manuela's been a great guest before.
Hi, Stillwater. I was just at Rattle and Hum drinking some of your beers. Oh. Why weren't you there?
Because I'm here.
What beers did you try? Of Brian's.
Cellar Door and Jungle...
De Roots. Yeah, yes. That was the collaboration with Voodoo, yeah.
That was all good. Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we brought a sour beer for you, Jimmy, for your birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's taste it.
It's a homebrew?
Yes. Mike's going to tell you what it is.
It's just a... basically, it's a sour that we aged on oak chips a little bit. We did a sour mash, so it's just kind of a simple, sour, refreshing beer. Good for
kind
a hot day
like
this.
Kind of like a Berliner Weiss?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Awesome. Let's pass the beer on, guys. So, Berliner Weiss style, great.
So, I have a quick birthday beer question, the theme of the show. So I have a friend named Tonya who's a home brewer, and her brother just had a baby, and for the baby's birth she wants to get him a beer that will age 21 years, so a birthday beer. So this weekend we tried the Avery Mephistopheles and a Kunin beer. I can't remember what it's called. So do you guys have any suggestions for a beer that'll age 21 years?
Lambic.
Which
like,
one?
Like, pretty much I think personally, from experience, that sour beers, as far as like long-term aging, usually do the best.
But they're so low in alcohol.
Does that really matter?
Of course it does. Alcohol is preservative too.
But the acid in the beers are also preservative. Okay. So
guys, another call-in question.
What?
Hi, who's this?
Jimmy. We are going to spare you with any kind of singing because we can't sing. This is John Legie and DJ Swanson from Greenport Harbor.
Our favorite Long Island brewery. All right.
Happy
how are you guys?
Man.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday, dude.
Oh, somebody's working overtime on this show. This is awesome. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you guys at the Brewer's Choice event, September 30th, which is a featured event of the New York Craft Beer Week. And right now there's going to be over 15 brewers, including Brian from Stillwater, and you guys, and Greg Hall from Goose Island. So it's going to be awesome. But think about your favorite food and beer pairings, because we're going to make your favorite food and serve it next to your beer. Okay?
Awesome. Happy birthday, dude.
All right, guys. Thanks for calling in. Thanks so much.
Good show. All right.
Take it easy, man.
Cool. Back to sour beers. Anyways, guys, this has been a lot for us. Got a lot of friends here and everything. Ray, why don't you take over the show, man? Tell us how to end the show and finish this up.
Tell us about American beer.
Tell you about American beer. Because clearly some of the best beers in the world are brewed all over the world.
That's true.
What?
Good beer. Let's just say that good, great, excellent beer is brewed all over the world.
Yeah.
It depends on the condition you get it. And
we're talking about the ricochet effect of like the traditional beers that are brewed out in Europe. That's where the tradition comes from. And then we come to America and then Prohibition. Now we start making crap beer, Budweiser, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden the craft beer industry springs up and we're making some great beer. And then what happens is over in Europe, in Belgium and in Germany and in England, they're kind of reflecting some of the strategies, the brewing strategies that we use here in America. It's kind of, like I say, a ricochet effect.
Let's ask Mike a quick. Mike, I want to ask you one question. Sure. Think of a place where beer is cheaper than water, and would you want to live there? Because I did.
It was pretty cheap in Germany. I wouldn't mind living there. It was about a tenth of the price that it is here. So
it's a lot cheaper in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, no question.
It's not cheap in England.
We're going to say thanks to our guests. Mike Henderson, Manuela Toda, Jerry from Browcheck, Brian from Stillwater, Jimmy Carboni and Ray Dieter. We're on Beer Sessions Radio.
Happy birthday.
Thanks so much, guys. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com, Good Brew Seal. We will see you next week. August
Happy
24th,
birthday, Jimmy.
Special recorded show. Bye.
The fact that I like to drink beer, this little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good